Hello, and welcome back to the Double Take podcast with Jess and Jenny, where we give our takes on all things TV. Today is another classic TV check-in. Hi, Jess. I am excited because I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, we both watched Avatar: The Last Airbender, the live action.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I did, and by your tone, I can infer you did not.
I did not. What are there, 8 episodes? I watched 3, which I thought was pretty good.
They are long. They're an hour, right?
The first one being a full hour really spooked me. The cartoon is 30 minutes.
20.
The episodes are – yeah. And I guess I knew these were going to be hour long, but they felt very long. Probably more so for me, a person who has never seen even a second of I've probably seen a second of the cartoon before. But what I did was I watched the first 3, and then I thought – you know what? I'm just going to go watch the cartoon because I feel like that'll give me more ability to speak about this. And I think it would be interesting to compare and contrast it, even just personally. So I went back and I watched 1 episode of the cartoon.
No.
And then okay. I quit. Then I really quit. I was done after that. Then I started watching other things.
I wish you had consulted me. The first season in particular is like very much a kid's show. I mean, it's all a kid's show, but it's like set up, although even though – okay, we don't have to – I'm getting ahead of myself. I still think somehow narratively the first season, even the first episode of the cartoon, is done better than the live action.
I agree. No, I agree. That's why I was surprised when you started to say that I shouldn't have watched the first episode. I wanted to be able to actually compare. Yeah, I see what you mean because I did not walk away being like, wow, I totally get why everybody loved this show. Yeah. But I also wasn't criticizing it. You can never really judge a show on just its first episode, especially a show like that. But it was more like I wanted to see – and I don't want to get ahead of myself. We can go into this in a second. But I wanted to see how they did the introduction to the story because in the live action version, it felt very heavy-handed. And I was like, well, maybe that's just how they did it in the cartoon. And I think it's worthwhile that I am able to contrast it. To compare and contrast it, at least for this conversation, because I mean, you could have told me, obviously, and you will tell me there's other things that you can tell me that I won't know, but I appreciate that I have the two contrasting things in my head. So where would you like to start?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think we should just start with Avatar. I'm sure we have other things to catch up on, but this feels like it's going to be the bulk of the episode, at least 15 minutes. I have things to say.
Yeah, let's jump in.
I just want to know. So, I mean, you stopped watching after 3 episodes. But what do you have any? Did you like any part of it? Were you like, okay, I could see how other people liked it, live action version, not the cartoon, or were you fully like, no?
No, I didn't hate it.
Okay,
I think I was trying to figure out 3 different things. 1, do I personally like this? Am I enjoying it? 2. Do I think other people who haven't seen the cartoon, other people who might like fantasy more than I do, will they like it? And 3, what are people thinking if they've seen the cartoon? And that was the one that actually drove me to then go watch the cartoon because I was like, I have no idea what is going on in those people's heads. For me personally, I was kind of thinking about how when I watched Shadow and Bone, I was like, I think this is okay. But I don't really like it. And there's just something about the sort of like fantasy stuff.
We keep coming back. Yeah, we should have mentioned, like, I know you don't like to full stop say you don't like fantasy and sci-fi, but I think on the whole, not your favorite genres.
I know. I struggle with it because there are like blends of the genres that I really like sci-fi thrillers all day. Fantasy that's like, I don't know. I guess it's just like high fantasy is normally a no for me. I think I can say that. And it is sort of like, there are a lot of words and you don't know what any of them mean, but you're supposed to just keep watching and eventually you'll find out. Like, that's not always my favorite. I can stick through it a lot of the time though. And then like, sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. And I think that comes down to like, how corny does it feel? Like, how much do I feel like I'm watching a bunch of people walk around in costumes? And I don't have the vocabulary, I guess, to describe like when it feels like that and when it doesn't. But I guess it probably comes down to budget at a certain point. Like Dune. Dune doesn't feel like they're walking around in costumes.
Sure.
Shadow and Bone did. That's not really fair. One's a TV show. So then it's like, well, I'm probably just not the best critic of this genre.
I mean, that's – I mean, you have brought up a point that is one of my – one of the things that detracted from this adaptation for me perhaps the most is how – bad some of the costumes are. And I don't mean bad as in like they're pretty accurate to the cartoon, but it looks as though they could have kept the accuracy, which I think I didn't watch the movie that everyone hates. But I think that had tried to go really realistic with everything. I think you could have done a blend and instead they went with almost like a cosplay costume. The wigs are just like too perfect and don't look like real hair. The like main trio's outfits look like they're made out of like polyester. Like you just like went to Party City and got a Katara costume. And that, I don't know, I'm not a costume expert, but it feels like those could have been not super expensive things to fix. Even just the fact that they're traveling day in, day out, and their costumes look as pristine in the second episode as they do in the first and in the third, like everything just looks a little, yes, like play acting rather than immersing you in the story. So to that point that you're having, like, does it look like they're walking around in costumes in this adaptation? Absolutely, yes. Like, unfortunately,
that makes me feel a little better, because like I said, I feel sometimes like I'm not even picking up on the right things to critique. But
no,
it felt like corny in that way. Like everybody, but like you said, it like everybody looked like too perfect and didn't feel like lived in, and so I felt like we were just like acting like we were in Avatar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I've ever seen a great adaptation from cartoon to live action that hasn't struggled with. Like I don't have an example, and I'm sure there are people out there that are like screaming an example. But it's hard to get something that is so well portrayed in a cartoon or in animation. It's hard to get the same feeling of that and also not make it super corny. I think they tried to do a little bit of a mix and didn't quite succeed. But for instance, the intro where all the benders are doing it and they're like, they only do it in the first episode also, which happens in every episode in the cartoon. But the intro sequence, I don't know if I'm describing this. Usually it's like earth, air, fire, water, long ago, that one, looked like video game characters almost. So I was like, okay, maybe they're going for that. Like maybe we're going in a more video game sort of like partial reality. And then they sort of dropped that. So I don't know. I'm not loving their choices.
Okay. That's interesting to know that you agree. I wonder if this for me also comes back to the tone. And so I'm curious if you'll agree on this. For me, especially after watching the first episode of the cartoon, I felt like – no, I should take a step back. Before I watched the first episode of the cartoon, I was getting a weird vibe from the live-action version in terms of, is this for teens? Is this for adults? And for me, it was like, it's almost serious and like violent, but it's also not. And it really wasn't stepping over that line, but it was taking itself very seriously in a way that like was an odd match. Did you feel that way?
Oh, totally. I think I've come down on the side of it's not – I think the live action is for older people. Not I don't know what I'm trying to say. Not adults per se, but it is one notch above the cartoon. The cartoon is like fully a kid's show, which you can do – you can have some fighting violence in a cartoon show because you can just like blow it away in a puff of smoke and not really show anything but have – the idea of it. But this, like, they're fully showing some violence. I think it's marked as PG, which to me feels still kids show-ish, but they're definitely taking themselves more seriously, which is why it then the parts that feel like they're taking themselves more seriously don't match with how little they're trusting the audience, which I think maybe is what you were going into. Those two tones are not matching. So there's a lot of – we sort of talked about this offline, which we should have kept it, but it's whatever. There's so much exposition dumping in all of the episodes, I would say, but especially in the first episode of like, hey, here's everything you need to know about this world. And we're not really going to trust you to pick up on anything yourself. We're just going to spell it all out for you because you're going to need this later. And in the kids show, in the cartoon, I feel like they do such a much, like a much better job at trusting the audience to be sucked in enough to like figure things out as they go along. And I'm surprised that they don't have the same regard for their viewers in the live action, which seems made for older people.
In the first episode, I am pretty sure there's no dialogue that isn't serving to be expository. Like all of the dialogue in the first episode is expository. I was like, I don't know who these characters are. I don't know what they feel.
Oh, wait, yes, I do now.
I don't know. No, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't like any of them because all I'm getting is plot. Like, you're not showing me who these people are, what they care about, what their personality is. You're literally just forwarding a plot that I don't yet feel attached to. And I mean, and that's just like rule number one, like don't make all your dialogue expository. Obviously that sucks, but especially here where it's so heavy in like the lore and the mythology, and like if you're going to give me a fantasy show like that, you have to make me care about the characters. And maybe that's what, maybe they just did not expect somebody who didn't see the original show to be watching this. I don't know.
But then why make it? I don't know.
Yeah. And then there are issues on the other side of like, if you did watch the show, they've made like weird character choices. That one I saw on the internet. I don't know that one for sure, but maybe you could speak to that.
Yeah, I was wondering what you meant by that. I was like, oh, which choices?
I saw a TikTok.
Okay. So
it was about Katara.
Katara is upsetting. So is Sokka in many ways. I don't want to – Carter and I actually got into an argument. We watched the whole thing together. I don't want to be – the kind of person who says, well, they changed this from the source material and so it's therefore bad. Because I think adaptations sometimes need changes. This isn't like an adaptation from a book to a series or a book to a movie. It's from a TV show to a TV show. So it doesn't need that much difference in like storytelling, except that it's real people rather than cartoon people. But I don't want to say that just because they're making different character choices, it's going to turn out badly and like that's bad storytelling. However, I'm concerned. I know you only watched the first three episodes, so I won't say too much. But yeah, for Katara in particular, she is so flat in this first season. And it doesn't feel like they're setting up much for her to grow in the following seasons, which in the cartoon, some of the differences, she's so angry in the cartoon. She's like angry, she's bossy, she feels like she needs to be the mother figure because she lost her mother so young. She isn't like in the first scene where they show her barely being able to waterbend, she struggles in the first couple of, I mean, you watch the first episode, she fully breaks an iceberg by herself with her rage, which is like the pacing of her quote unquote arc in this first season of the live action doesn't really make any sense and is like a shadow of what her character is in the first season of the cartoon, which I think is where people are getting upset. It's like, she's meek in this one. She doesn't have the same qualities. And also she doesn't have any different qualities that seem like they're going to grow into an interesting arc in future seasons. Same goes for Sokka. He is like borderline misogynistic in the cartoon and goes through this huge arc of like, especially with Suki, the warrior. You met Suki, right? Is that the second episode? She's the warrior with the eyeshadow that goes down to her nose.
Oh, yeah. And Yeah.
Their whole meeting, like they don't quite get along as quickly as they did in this series. And he goes through this whole arc of becoming less misogynistic and also finding things in himself to care about. It's just the main true, and Aang, okay, I'm fully going on a rant now. Aang is in the series, just wants to play, just wants to have fun. In the first episode of the cartoon, they go penguin sledding or whatever. He is not about the responsibilities of the Avatar. And sort of at every turn is sort of like, but we can still have fun, right? And in this, he's just a little nervous. He's like, well, I'm just a kid. I need everything rests on my shoulders. It doesn't really seem like there's like anywhere to grow in where they've put the main trio in the live action in the way that it did in the cartoon. Everyone feels so flat. I agree. If I was watching this for the first time, I wouldn't like the quote unquote main characters. I'd be like, I'm supposed to root for these people. I don't really care about them. The only people I do care about, and you could tell me if you are feeling this at all is Zuko and Iroh, like the firebenders.
Yeah, they have, I guess, a more interesting personality right now.
They don't have, I mean, they also suffer from some, I don't know, I don't want to call it bad writing, but like very expository dialogue and writing in some ways, but they at least have some back and forth between each other that doesn't feel shallow. I was trying to be positive throughout the first, throughout all eight episodes. And my feelings about the main trio in particular, but about a lot of the characters are just, they spent so much time pouring out plot and exposition. And like you said, like failing to care about giving insight into characters that I don't see how anyone who doesn't know this story would care about a lot of them.
I don't care. That's why I stopped watching. Like they have literally given me zero reason to care. And that was crazy to me about one episode of the cartoon. I already was like, oh, I like these people. Like Katara's cool. Aang's fun. Entirely different. And it's not even just, oh, their personalities are different. It's they like, oh, that. They have a personality in this one.
Yes.
And I even recognized like they did sort of almost beat for beat some of the same scenes, like Katara and Sokka are in like a canoe or something and they're going down the ice right before they find Aang. They're like bantering and both of them have a lot of personality and you get that through the way they're speaking with each other, even though they're talking about like, I don't know, who knows what. Like it wasn't about the plot. And I feel like this show totally lost that like that is important. It's important to have them just like talk. They're siblings. They're going to like squabble.
Right.
Like that's an important piece to show us so that we understand their dynamic versus just like whatever they did in the show where it was like she sort of makes fun of him for a second. He's like, yeah, I am important. And then he's like, oh, you were joking. That was so forced. It did not work at all. And that was like all we got was like that one exchange.
Yeah. Yeah, it's disappointing. I'm glad you did watch one episode, even if it was only one. I also want to say about the like not trusting the viewers and in the first episode, I don't know if you'll have strong feelings about this having being pretty new to it, but the fact that in the first episode of the live action, they start us 100 years back and they start with like Aang realizing he's the Avatar, Fire Lord Ozai becoming like the evil person that he is. And then we spring forward to Sokka and Katara going down the river, like you were saying, or like whatever the flow of ice water, and then coming across the Avatar in the ice thing. That is such a different, like you don't get that backstory. It's hinted at. It's like long ago, the earth, air, fire, water, long ago, whatever the grandmother says is the intro. That in Katara's voice, she's telling the story. She's like, everything changed when the Fire Nation attacked. Now Aang is here. He's got a lot to learn, but he's here to save the world, blah, blah, blah. That exposition happens separate from the action. It's like in the intro sequence. And you don't hear anything about Aang learning he's the Avatar, about how the Fire Nation actually started the war until several episodes in, even like further into the second season, you're getting more and more details about how this happened. And I feel like opening a series on, hey, there's a boy caught in ice, and these two bickering siblings come across him and they're like, wait a second, no airbender has been alive for 100 years. As a viewer, you're like, ooh, what's happening? What's this about? And you don't get any of that in the live action. It's just like a so much worse storytelling technique.
I didn't know that watching the live action one because I didn't know that they do that differently. But then, yeah, when I watched the cartoon, I was like, oh, I immediately like this better because I haven't been spoon-fed it. It's kind of tough for me to say I like was more into it because I did already know, like I know the story, so I can't be like, wow, like what happens next? But from a perspective of just, yeah, storytelling good versus bad, like when is it ever a good idea to just narratively, linearly tell a story
start
from
at
the
one point.
Very first moment something happened? Like obviously if you start in the action and leave some questions, people will be more engaged. That feels so obvious to me that it's alarming that they had that blueprint. Or confusing. It's confusing that they had that blueprint and then they were like, no, we're going to do it a different way and make
worse.
It worse.
Yeah.
I very much don't understand that. And I I think – so I actually – I watched the live-action version. I watched the cartoon. And then I went back to the first episode of the live-action to be like, oh, I think they did this differently. Because I had it in my head that they did show us that, but I wasn't sure like how – I immediately forgot how much they showed us because – especially when you're watching that for the first time, you're like, I have literally no idea what's going on. What's mm-hmm. a Fire Nation? Who's this guy that just moved Earth or whatever? And that could be interesting if you know you're going to get bits here and there back and forth. But my perspective of it in the first episode of the live action was like, oh, that was the whole story. And I'm going to need to like go back and watch that because they just showed it to me all at once. And now I'm supposed to know it. Like, yeah, I'm supposed to know this now. And so I went back to it. And I was like, okay, this makes more sense to me now after watching three episodes and the cartoon. But it didn't make sense to me at the time. And that was when I really cemented that I hated that they did it that way.
Okay, I'm glad that you have the same opinion even after only one episode of the cartoon. Yeah, that's one of the things where I'm like, yeah, different is not necessarily bad, but this was objectively worse. Like that was just, there's no excuse. There are other things that they've made, other changes that they've made, like because you only watched one episode, I don't think you would have noticed this, but they've combined several storylines into single episodes. So the original series is 20 or so episodes that are 20 minutes long. And so it's much more of like they're traveling to a different place almost every episode. There are so many more parts of the world that you see. And so for instance, the season three Omashu, you're in the Earth Kingdom with the guy who, the mechanist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that plus Jet, the like vigilante guy, plus Bumi, the Earth King, all of those happen in three separate episodes in three separate places in the original. And I think it was commendable that they were able to get all of those characters in a way that sort of felt like it made sense into the same episode. Like I sort of see why they did that in the type of show they're trying to make. And I'm okay with it. But I also see from a person who is new to the show how that could make each episode feel so long. There are three fully different arcs and like stories happening that in the original are contained, and now they're feeding it to you almost in like a movie length. It's not a movie, it's an hour, but still it's a lot of material that they're asking you to hold. And if you've never seen it before, you don't have like, oh, that's Jet, I know what's happening in this storyline. Like, oh, that's Bumi, I know what's happening here. So if it's dense in that way too.
Yeah, it's too many characters and I don't care about any of them. That's why I give up. Yeah, that does sum it up.
I think that's okay. I did finish it, like I said. I'm going to watch at least parts of the second season. Like I want to see if it gets better from here because I do feel like maybe this was just sort of, I don't want to say a trial, but like they were kind of setting everything up. And even though I don't think they did a great job, I think there is room for actual character growth in the second season that they sort of gave up on in the first. So I don't know. I do want to say I loved Suki. When she came on the screen, I was like, I love women. Women are lovely. She's pretty. I like her. And that was basically my only positive thought. My only very, very positive thought the entire time.
My very positive thought was Appa was dope. I love Appa.
Aww, yeah.
He's so cute.
Appa was dope. Momo was a little creepy in the live action version.
Which one's Momo?
The little flying like bat squirrel.
Oh, I didn't care for him.
He's a little creepier in the live action than in the thing. Oh, you know what I will say? I think, sorry for cutting you off, but I just quickly, this was a better adaptation, in my opinion, than Percy Jackson. I think they did do some things better, even though it was such heavy exposition dumping. They sort of moved past that at some points in a way that I don't think Percy Jackson did.
I have a hard time figuring out how I feel about Percy Jackson because I didn't hate it. Okay, well, I also haven't seen the finale yet. I've been putting it off because while I didn't hate it, I just am not interested. But I think they're both struggling with the same things. Like, they're not really giving any – it's just – plot, plot, plot. Move from point A to point B to point C. And it's, yeah, it is very expository. The characters are not given any room to just like be, they get these like, I guess, very brief moments where they get to just like be kids and be, have personalities. But I just don't think it's working. I can't, yeah, I really can't. I can't compare personally the two because one, I haven't finished and I like the original material, and the other, I haven't finished and I never watched the original. So, but I think they're both struggling from this, like taking themselves too seriously, but also not being fully an adult, like serious. Like there's a world in which Avatar, the live action version, could have been gritty. Like parts of the show are very self-serious and like adult. And if they had just leaned into that and made it like a dark, serious version of it, I think that that would have worked. But instead we get these like sort of dark, serious moments, but then also like juvenile storytelling, like very juvenile costumes. Like the other parts of it are not gritty.
Even the music that like you can tell when they're trying to lead the audience, they're cueing you to be like, this is emotional. There's an orchestral swell. And I'm like, you didn't make me feel it. You don't earn my like emotion just because you've decided that there's going to be an orchestral swell in this moment. Like, sorry, that feels out of place and kind of lame.
It's just lacking the performances and the writing to like back that up. Like it's trying to make us feel a certain thing, but it's not, yeah, like you said, not earning it. But I also think that some of the performances are not great. And I mean, I think that's because they're saying the plot, but like, I literally hate criticizing children's shows with children actors because it's like, I'm not going to sit here and bash a kid actor. But if you're carrying the whole show, should you be doing a better job? Like, probably.
You're speaking about Aang.
I think it's very flat. A lot of his like line reading.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear where you're coming from. I do think that's not necessarily his fault. And
it's the fact that he's saying plot. Like, yeah, I agree. It's all wrapped up in itself in the various problems.
And that they made him not the fun loving kid who spoiler alert for anyone who's never seen the cartoon, but it's not really a spoiler, but eventually when they do flashback many, many episodes in to Aang finding out he's the Avatar, when he finds out, none of the other airbenders want to like play with him anymore. They sort of shut him out as in like he's too cool and also like he probably is like too good for us or whatever. And that really kind of scars him and is why he's so like running away from he's like, I don't want to be the Avatar. When I became the Avatar, one of the last things I remember is everyone, like all my friends turning on me. And that's not, doesn't seem to be in this version of it at all. That's just one example of a character piece that he's not getting the playful side, like the Aang in the live action, which is then fed by a later information of like, oh, he's so like anti-responsibility, pro-fun because of some of his experiences. And I just don't know that, it doesn't seem like they're set up to have the same kind of arcs that made people love these characters in the live action. We keep coming around to the same things, but...
Yeah, I suppose I have not much else to say, having only seen what I've seen. But I did think, I was thinking about, not specific to Avatar necessarily, but just this question of like, why do we make live action versions of animated things? And you said earlier, I know, like that is the answer. So I guess it's more like, when does it actually make sense from a audience perspective to do that? Or I think what you said earlier was like, has there ever been one that has done it? And you said like people will be screaming. The only one, and I sat there and I thought about, the only one that I like is Scooby-Doo. The Scooby-Doo movies with Sarah Michelle Gellar and company. But I think that those work because they are not at all self-serious. Like those are not gritty versions of Scooby-Doo. Those are like children's. Well, like children, young adult.
YA, yeah.
I mean, they work for all ages, but like they're not gritty. They're funny. They're youthful. They're silly. And that works because like that sort of matches the tone of the original, but you could have made a really, really self-serious version of Scooby-Doo and it probably would have flopped. But I think by keeping the spirit of like the tone, but not dumbing it down, like I still like those movies as an adult. They're not, they don't feel like they're totally for children. I think it works. But then also I think that they have a little more freedom there because they can create new stories. They're not following a story like Avatar is. I think Avatar's problem is it's they're getting bogged down in like, how do we tell this story that presumably, although I didn't check, was told in like 22 episodes and now there are 8. And I think that that is inherently difficult. But it does come back to like, what's the point other than money? And if there isn't one, I don't think it's ever going to really succeed. Because if they're literally just trying to adapt it into a real life version or live action version, like why is that seemingly the goal? Why is it like, oh, yay, this thing's being turned into live action? Like that's something we could hope for because the live action version is like the better version. Like if something's animated, it's like the cheaper version or whatever that sort of mentality is, I think is so flawed, especially for fantasy and sci-fi, because there's so much more you can do in an animated format that it's like, totally. Well, we're losing a lot now that we're going to live action. And I don't think that we should be applauding, oh, yay, it's a live action version. Like, why was anyone excited about this at all?
Yeah, there is, there's one thing that I think I was, that I thought was done really well and was very cool to see is they do a great job. The setting is beautiful. Like seeing all of these places that were drawn and now look as though they are real life, like that's very cool. And that's why people love to go to like Harry Potter World and like to sort of be dropped into a place where you either have seen it just drawn or have imagined and see it as though it's real life. Like I get thinking that's cool. But I totally agree with everything else you've said about going from animated to live action. Like there is so much loss. There's so much more you can do for fantasy in an animated version of it. And I don't know. I think unfortunately the main reason for turning Avatar into a live action, like we've already said, is money. And if that's the goal, I don't know if the goal is not to bring anything new to it or to, I don't know, further any stories in it, I don't really understand. I don't think that's a good enough reason. And also, if the point is money, but money is also a limiting factor, it's not going to be a good outcome. Like, I think the reason that it's only 8 episodes and not longer is because they didn't have the budget to create like 7 more spaces, the like different air temples and different parts of the Earth Kingdom. The reason I think that they smushed a bunch of like the, I'm going back to the Earth Kingdom storyline, but the Omashu together, all those people into one place rather than going to 3 separate places to meet all those people is because they only had to create one quote unquote set. I think a lot of it's probably CGI, but still, which is like, it was beautiful. That part was done really well, but they're just making sacrifices in places that I think viewers would, even though it is beautiful, and even though I think they're like, wow, that's done really well, like the other corners they cut kind of make the show, in my mind, not worth it. So it must be hard to be to make anything is hard, but I think the people behind it should have more of a goal than just like, we want to make money and do the best we can with that.
Yeah. I mean, the people who make those decisions and the people, the creatives working on this stuff are different people, and the people making the decisions of, you know, what gets made and what gets money are business people and not creatives. And that's how you end up with Madame Web, for instance. Oof.
I haven't seen, but I have heard much about that.
Yeah, I saw it. But what's funny about that, just as a quick aside, is like I watched a few movies in the last couple of weeks that I thought were all like 1.5 out of 5 stars. I think I gave Madame Web a 1 out of 5. However, I did have the most fun watching Madame Web of those bad movies because it was like laughably bad. And sometimes a movie's just bad and it's not even, you know, there's no joy finding it bad. But Madame Web, there was some joy in how just ridiculous it was.
All right.
But that was a side comment. I think I'm done with Avatar. Do you have any closing thoughts? I think we've said all there
is to say. No. Just, yeah, like I said, I'm going to watch the second season probably when it comes out. I hope it becomes more of – I hope it has more of the heart that it has in the cartoon. But I will say, after watching all 8 episodes, my main thought was, oh, I just want to go watch the original. Like, I don't really need for another season of this to come out. I would like to just watch what I liked in the first place. That's about it. What other TV shows have you started watching or continued watching this week?
I am caught up on Abbott.
Me too.
Would you like to talk about that for a moment? I have thoughts.
Sure.
Primarily, I am worried that the thing that I was originally worried about is happening, and that's that Janine is not there. I don't care about the subs. I don't I don't like it. I mean, I get that, you know, Jim left. I used this comparison last time. Jim left and it was fine. It all worked out. Not my favorite episodes, not the end of the world, not the death of the series. But I am not really seeing the benefits of this like district storyline, especially with these other characters that they introduced for like a second, but like aren't really utilizing, like the guy from Never Have I Ever and the other guy from the other two. Like, it's not like they're so I don't know their names.
Me neither, but I knew exactly who you're talking about. Yeah.
I don't get it. And I know that we're only four episodes in, but
depends on what you count the first two as.
Yeah. Having nerves.
Yeah, I did like the following two, just three, whatever, episodes better than I liked the season opener. But I hear you. I think it feel. I mean, especially episode two, the first episode being two, being like a double episode is confusing me. But whatever, the one where she is trying to get the interpreter, that felt very Parks and Rec. It feels like they're going even more Parks and Rec. And sort of merging these two, the school and then the like.
Oh, the bureaucracy of
it. Bureaucracy, yeah. Which I don't hate. It's just a different direction. And yeah, I hear your concerns. My main thing was I was worried that it was all going to be as silly is maybe the wrong word as the first episode. I think I had aired some grievances about like the jokes are very silly and there's not a, they seemed... I wanted them to develop some of the characters to continue developing some of the characters in both like a, we're having silly fun here, but also they're like humans that are growing the way that The Office did and the way that made you love Michael, even when he was like a buffoon to start, which I think I'm projecting onto the principal. Anyway, I think these following episodes have sort of done a little bit more of that. And there's equal silliness and like a little bit of growth and heart that is happening. So I'm happier with these two episodes than I was with the first.
Yeah. And to be clear, I still love Abbott. These aren't gripes so much.
They're
as
just
like
concerns.
I don't know. We talk about each episode. There will be things that I think about them. I still love the show. I think I'd like it better if Janine were in the school. I think that the stuff that works the best in this show is like, well, one, when Janine is like fighting for, she's a very Leslie Knope character. I mean, as you made the Parks and Rec comparison, but I think that's where a lot of the heart of the show comes in. And when she does get the interpreter or whatever at the end of that episode, like, very sweet. My heart grew. And I think those are the moments that I need in this show. Like, those are my favorite ones. Those are what makes me love it so much. I think a lot of that comes from Janine, the way they've set up the characters in the ensemble. And like by removing her, we're still getting those moments. I just don't know if it's working quite as well. That's all I need to say about that.
Alrighty.
What else? I started watching Constellation. Did you watch any of it on Apple?
Not yet, no. But you talk for a sci-fi, which I think it's like a sci-fi thriller / mystery. So that's maybe up your alley more. But it seemed like you didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it. I have fear that it will end up being very disappointing. And that's what's making me like, sometimes these sci-fi mystery shows like just bite off a lot and then don't deliver on it or just get like really in the weeds and leave any character development or anything else like to the side. If anything, I'm worried that it's the latter. Like, they've introduced a lot of threads. There's a few different mysteries sort of going on, and you're trying in the first three episodes that came out to figure out, like, who are these people? What's going on? There's multiple, like, unreliable narrators. There's a lot of weird, like, flashbacks. These aren't really spoilers. There are these moments where you're like, I'm not even sure if this is real or, like, what's real. And without knowing, like, you have no point to ground yourself with yet. Like, everything is, like, questionably fake, basically. And it's not quite the right way to describe it. You'll know what I mean when you start watching it. But it's a lot to take in without any sort of, like, central focus. But the central focus is, like, Nomi Rapace's character. But I don't really know that much about her. I don't, like, understand her character that well. I sort of know, like, some of the problems that she had and the problems that she's facing, but it's just like, it's not quite gelling yet.
Yeah, everything you said about that makes me not necessarily want to watch Constellation, but it does make me want 1899 back. like, I feel like all of those, the, like, sort of not knowing what's going on, but there being a greater mystery and not knowing who to trust or whatever. As you were talking about that, my brain just entirely went to, like, oh man, I'm upset we won't get to know what happens with 1899, and not really any thoughts about Constellation. But that's interesting. I will probably try it out and mourn the loss.
I feel like at least with 1899, there was an interesting, like, I liked the redheaded lady. I don't remember anyone's names. Mara, maybe? Like, she seemed cool. I can't put my finger on why. Time has passed. But I remember being like, I want to know what's up with this lady. What does she know? I don't know. And maybe that's because she seemed like maybe she was, like, in on it. Whereas in Constellation, like, clearly stuff is happening to this woman and you're not sure what's real, what's not. And to me, that's sort of just like the classic, like, sci-fi conspiracy, maybe less interesting to me. Just maybe that's just who I am as a person. I don't know if you'd like it. I'm curious.
Yeah, may check it out. There are so many things. I've already dropped a couple of TV shows, and maybe I'll pick them back up. Maybe I should say paused rather than dropped. But I mean, of the things that came out in February and late January, like Masters of the Air, haven't watched more than 3.5 episodes. Feud, haven't watched more than 3.5 episodes. Like, fully in the middle of an episode, I was like, no, I'm out. Genius, I watched, I want to say, 2 episodes. And Death and Other Details, I haven't watched in the last 3 weeks. So there's a lot of...
None of those were great, but I am caught up on most of the ones you listed. But yeah, I was feeling very meh about all of them. Like, I'm all the way caught up on Death and Other Details, and I'm still like, this just isn't very good. At this point, I will finish it. Not even because, like, oh, the mystery is so gripping, I just need to know the mystery. I don't know. I've watched 7 episodes. Like, it's not the most painful thing to watch. I'll finish it. I am struggling with Feud, but I am caught up on Feud. There are 8 episodes. I've watched 5. I'm like, how are there 3 more episodes of this? Put me out of my misery, please. But it's not horrible. It's just plotless.
It's the production is fine. Yes, it's plotting in no direction. It's the same thing. Even like like I said, I only watched 3.5 episodes, but by the 4th episode, I was like, nothing has changed. I don't know what I'm supposed to, like, is this performance art? Like, I'm supposed to just feel what it feels like to wallow in self-pity, I guess. Like, if you really want that, I think you can watch this TV show.
That does feel like what's going on. And the performances are all excellent, like really, really good. But it's still doing that thing where it's like jumping between the timelines. And like, to what end? There's no tension in this storytelling. Why are you doing this? The only thing I can think is, like, maybe there ends up being tension at some point in terms of, like, what happens next tension, not, like, character tension. But I don't care after 5 episodes of knowing. You just know right away in the first episode, like, okay, this is what happens. This is why they don't like him. This is what happens after they don't like him. And now we're just jumping back and forth between pre-writing the Swan thing and post-writing it. But I already know, and I'm not getting anything new.
Yeah, I don't want to watch more. How do you do it? How do you just like keep watching shows you don't want to watch?
I mean, if I really hate it, I don't.
I gave up.
There are glimmers of things that I like. The performances, really.
The performances are great, but those aren't redeeming enough for me. I feel like when I think about watching another episode, my whole body recoils. I'm like, that sounds like not a good way to spend time.
I felt like that with episode, I think it was like between episode 2 and 3. I was like, I do not want to put this on. And then I just kind of let it play through the next few episodes. And I was like, I don't enjoy it, but I don't hate it. So I don't know. I'm probably not giving it as much attention as I would if I were into it. That's the other thing. It's like it can kind of just play. I'm getting things from the performances. I'm getting like certain moments are evocative. I just don't care enough about him, Truman. I feel like if this had been a show where we saw like the rise and fall, that would be an interesting show. But we're just seeing like the middle and the fall. That to me is not interesting.
No, I there's no progression that seems like I will be pulled in at any point. That's exactly what my problem is. Do you think this is what people who watch Succession or White Lotus feel like when they're like, those are boring, nothing happens? Do you think that like Feud is to us as Succession and White Lotus? I know it seems crazy, but I feel like maybe that's what they're experiencing.
I'm speechless because no. That's a joke. I know what you're asking me. I'm speechless because I love them so much, but I don't know.
I know.
I've had this conversation with people where they say, I think for the Succession is boring people, it's like sort of the same thing plays out sort of over and over, and they just don't really care about like the business proceedings. I think they also just – they can't find anything redeeming or relatable in the nuanced characters. Like, yes, they are bad, but there's more to them. They're complex characters. But if you really do not like any of them and can't latch on to anything, like I can latch on to things in a few of those characters. Like, and so I grow with them. I love them. I'm interested to see what they will do, what they will say. Like, I think there's, you know, certain characters have a little bit of humor. Certain characters have like anyway, this is not about Succession, but I think the way that the characters are, yeah, they're developed characters. I think that's missing in Feud.
Yeah, and like you said, there are funny aspects to both White Lotus and Succession. There's no humor in Feud.
Satires. Okay. No, Feud's it's not a satire, and I think the people who think Succession is boring are really not letting. I don't know. How many episodes are they watching where they decide it's boring? Like, I think you have to get into it to really see the satire. And then as the characters develop, everything is funny. Like, so many lines, like, no, not on the surface, but once read, are really funny. Situations are funny. Like, you wouldn't get that if you just watched the first, like, 2 episodes because you don't understand the characters or the setting. And, like, the satire isn't – it's not Veep. Like, it's more subtle. And I think that's probably the case for the White Lotus too. Feud's not that. So I say no. My answer is no. I think it's not boring in the same way.
I think the same people would find this boring, but and maybe think of them as similar. But I agree. I think there are definitely things that Feud is not doing that the others do very well. I was going to make this transition really seamlessly from Abbott Elementary, but then we talked about a lot of other shows, to the Vince Staples show. I just wanted to mention quickly on a podcast, because I don't think I have, that I watched all the episodes of the Vince Staples show. There are 5. And Vince Staples plays Maurice in Abbott Elementary, if it wasn't clear what that brilliant transition was going to be. But I wrote about it in the newsletter, so there's more nuanced thought about it there. But I just wanted to plug it because I did really enjoy the first three episodes. That seems to be a trend lately. I like the first three episodes of a thing, or at least enjoy them enough, and then sort of the back half disappoints me. This sort of seemed like I want more. So I'm excited to see if enough people watch the Vince Staples show such that he gets another season. I'm assuming you haven't seen it because we haven't talked about it, but it's very Atlanta-y, a little surreal, funny, like laugh out loud funny. Definitely a lot of moments made me laugh out loud. And then the final two episodes kind of go more in the tension-y area that didn't seem to quite fit. And I still want a second season, but I want to talk more about it, and go and read my review and leave some comments if you want to talk about it too. And that's where I'll leave that one.
Yeah, I think I have a weird personal, what's the word for not a preference? It's not a vendetta against. I have an inclination against shows about people that are like lightly fictionalized versions of themselves. And I can't explain why. It's not like they're all bad. It's not even that they're all similar. Like that's the only thing that is the same between them. Like Bupkis, Dave, this. And I don't know. I don't know why. I can't explain why. I just find it off-putting.
Yeah, this I think is very loosely based. In that I think he thought it was an interesting concept for a show that he doesn't want to be – he doesn't necessarily love music. Like he's now sort of famous for being a rapper. People like him, like his music. But he kind of got into that because he realized he could make money doing it. And then he was like, but not a lot of money. Like I probably should get into acting or something else. Like I want to do something that I'm relatively – that I find relatively easy and do that. And I don't need to be famous. I just want to make money. And that's kind of been his thing. Like I just want to keep, you know – doing something that is relatively easy for me, but lets me pay the bills. And that is a weird thing from a celebrity. And so he kind of goes by that of being like, yeah, he's like semi-successful. And that is there, like a lot of the jokes in the TV show are like, isn't that that guy? Like, do you know, he seems familiar, but he's not actually that famous. And so he does have a lot of just normal life stuff that he goes through. Anyway, I hear what you're saying about things based on real life, but it's not as though he's got like a crazy tale that he's then putting into a TV show. He's like, here are some specific elements of my life, and then I'm going to use it to launch more fun stories and like kind of weird stuff about where I grew up.
Yeah. I stand by my ruling, but I get what you're saying. My ruling. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll try it. I am to take us out of that show, if I may. I am interested in Shogun, which comes out tomorrow.
Me too.
All the reviews so far have been very positive, which I felt like it was the kind of show that could have gone very much either way. But if I had to have bet, I would have said negative. I think there's so much like hype around these like big epics and expensive shows, and a lot of the time they end up being busts. So for this to be, I mean, really positively reviewed so far, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I think I would have had the same inclination to be like, might be like another House of the Dragon, or I'm just trying to think of other things where people were, there was a lot of hype and then it was sort of like, kind of weird execution, not the best show. So yeah, I'm excited as well.
Citadel,
dear Lord. Yeah. Yeah, that's Tuesday or Wednesday? I've lost my calendar.
Shogun is Tuesday, so this pod will be out. The episodes will be out by the time this pod comes out. So for the listeners, I think like two or three episodes of Shogun will be available by the time you hear this. And probably one of us will review it for this week's newsletter. Anything you're looking forward to?
No, definitely Shogun. I think the other things that I'm looking forward to are further into March. I don't have anything in the next week that I'm like super excited about. But I do have a few movies that I want to watch.
Such as Dune Part 2?
Yeah, I would like – I mean, I've heard good things about Dune Part 2. I didn't love Dune Part 1. I was like, wow, yeah, the production's great, but I don't really care. It was a little too long, but I've heard a lot of good things about part two. So that I'm excited by. I haven't seen what's the Sydney Sweeney, not Madame Web, the rom-com that people kind of panned, but also kind of liked with,
Anyone But You.
Anyone But You. Yeah. It's now on streaming and you can rent or buy it. And so when I have a night to myself, I'm sort of excited to just watch a rom-com. And then there are other movies too. What else am I?
Look at you and your movies. That's new for you.
Yeah, I might not stick with it.
We can wrap.
We can wrap. Leave a review if you like this podcast. Also, come join us on our newsletter, doubletake.substack.com, dbltake.substack.com. It would be fun to have you there. We do reviews literally every week, and then a little something extra for our premium subscribers.